Doing so will make you a legend and seal your fate as someone who is worthy of worldwide influence. Stone Riley then stood up, hugged his two students, and disappeared down a marble passageway. Chapter 13. The 5 a.m. Club learns the 20-20-20 formula. Early in the morning, when you are reluctant in your laziness to get up, let this thought be at hand. I am rising to do the work of a human being. Marcus Aurelius, Roman Emperor. Rome is in my veins. Its energy courses through my blood, and its unique type of magic resets my spirit, thought the billionaire as his jet taxied along the tarmac of that city's private airport. The song Magnolia by Italian music group Negrita pulsed through the speakers of the aircraft as the tycoon swayed his taut shoulders to the beat. The fierce pride, fantastic passions, and glorious hearts of the Romans inspire me so much, he affirmed to himself. The way the light falls on Trinità dei Monti, the church that crowns the Spanish steps, never fails to lift my soul, and often brings tears into my eyes. The exquisite food, including the mozzarella di bufala, cacio e pepe, amatriciana, and carbonara, along with the fire-cooked abbacchio, feeds my desire to maximize the enjoyment of my life. And the painstakingly handcrafted architecture in this open-air museum of a city, where I love to walk in the rain, speaks to both the warrior as well as the poet within me, the magnate reflected, as his jet neared the gate. The billionaire had spent many of the finest years of his fantastic, though far from perfect life, in Rome, staying at an apartment in the historical center on Via Vittoria. Zurich and his other homes were the places he'd go mostly to work on projects and manage his global commercial pursuits. But Rome, well, Rome was to fuel his sense of awe and to nourish his appetite for joy. Inhaling the fragrance of gardenias at springtime and taking long treks past the temple that sits at the lake in the park called Villa Borghese were two of his favorite things in life. Rising at 5 a.m., before Rome's dense traffic could stifle some of its magnificence, and riding his mountain bike past the Trevi Fountain, up to Monti and by the Colosseum, and finally over to Piazza Navona, to just sit and embrace the marvelousness of the church in that exalted square, reminded him of the brilliance that only early morning brings. Much more than his wealth, such experiences made him feel prosperous and alive. You should know that the greatest love of his life hailed from Rome. The billionaire met her in an English bookstore just off Via dei Condori, the fabulous street where Italy's iconic fashion houses have their flagship stores. Though he was in his late 30s, the Titan was still a bachelor at that first encounter, something of a playboy and a man known for his taste in the finer pleasures of the world. He still remembered the book he sought her help to find. Jonathan Livingston Seagull by Richard Bach, that wonderfully transformational novel about a seagull who knew he was made to fly higher than the flock and embarked on an unforgettable journey to make that inner knowing real. Vanessa put her hands on a copy quickly, was exceedingly polite, yet frustratingly aloof, and then moved on to help another customer. It took the billionaire over a year of visiting that cramped bookshop with books arranged on old wooden shelves that lined the time-worn walls for this young woman to agree to have dinner with him. The billionaire's quest was driven by her under-the-radar kind of beauty, her ardent intelligence, her bohemian personal style, and her awkward laugh that made him feel as happy as a family of bees in a huge honeypot. They were married in the enchanting seaside town of Monopoli, in the southern Italian region of Puglia. What a special day that was, the Baron mused wistfully. The music that rang through the main square as we all danced with wild abandon, under the melting glow of a full moon. The farm fresh burrata cheese, the orecchiette pasta made by the chef's grandmother, the townspeople joining the lively party, displaying their boundless Italian hospitality by bringing bottles of homemade Negramaro and Primitivo wine as wedding gifts. The whole experience still touched him considerably. The billionaire's relationship with Vanessa had been both sensational and volatile, as in many epic love stories. Sometimes, often, actually, intense romantic connection raises deep-rooted pain. With that special person, we finally feel safe to take off our social armor and show our truest selves. And so, they get to see us in the fullness of our wonder, passion, and light. Yet that also brings intense glimpses of the shadow side we all have, the side that develops from the hurts we've had as we've lived. In The Prophet, Khalil Gibran wrote, "When love beckons to you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. Though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you, though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lays waste the garden, all these things shall love do unto you, so that you may know the secrets of your heart." Yet, despite the turbulent nature of their marriage, the billionaire and his statuesque wife made it work for decades. Though she had passed away suddenly many years earlier, he never remarried. He wouldn't allow himself to fall in love again, preferring to concentrate on growing his business empire, expanding his philanthropic pursuits, and enjoying the genuinely lovely life he'd earned alone. The mogul took out his wallet and slowly removed a creased photograph of Vanessa. He stared at it, transfixed by the image. Then he started coughing again, vigorously. "You okay, boss?" inquired one of the pilots from the cockpit. The billionaire remained silent, looking at the photo. The entrepreneur and the artist had flown to Rome a few days earlier and had been mesmerized by the sights, splendor, and rarities of the eternal city. With hands locked together, taking in the energy and beauty of Rome, they traversed the cobblestone streets previously walked by great builders and noble emperors. Today was the day they had waited a long time for. This morning, they'd learned the 20-20-20 formula that rested at the core of the 5 a.m. method. The two students would be taught with granularity precisely what to do within the victory hour, that window of opportunity that runs between 5 and 6 a.m., so they'd consistently enjoy amazing days. Today they would discover, in intimate detail, how to use their mornings well, to create a world-class existence. As requested by the billionaire, the two stood at the very top of the Spanish Steps. It was precisely 5 a.m. If you stood on the platform under the obelisk that's there and looked down to the steps beneath it, you'd see the exact spot where the mentor and his two students met on this morning. The first rays of the Roman sun kissed Trinità dei Monti as the lovers looked out over this city of such culture. The early Romans were remarkable for the grandeur of their visions, for the scale of their buildings, and for their otherworldly ability to construct monuments that betrayed engineering reality. The two of them could see St. Peter's Basilica and the tomb of Emperor Augustus, as well as the seven hills that were so central to the protection of the empire that began as a tiny village on the banks of the Tiber River and grew to what now included 40 different countries, spanning Europe, Asia, and Africa. The air was fragrant with a blend of floral notes and smokiness, as if a fire were burning in the far distance. "Buongiorno," cried a voice amid the tranquility. "Own your morning, elevate your life," the billionaire shouted with the kind of enthusiasm you'd hear from Roman soldiers on achieving a crucial victory. Mr. Riley walked into the first embers of the lightfall, smiling a man in a magic of life type of smile. He had chosen to wear a pair of chic Italian sunglasses for this all-important coaching session. He also wore an Italian windbreaker, over a black t-shirt with the initials SPQR emblazoned on it, black sweatpants, and orange running shoes. "Tutto bene?" he asked cheerfully. "We're good," said the entrepreneur, happily understanding a few words of Italian. "Really good," offered the artist. "Big day, cats. Today's lesson to be taught to you by me, your cheese-gulping, tonnarelli pasta-gobbling mentor, is all about the 2020-20 formula. We're finally here. We're finally ready to calibrate your morning routine, so you both materialize your promise for genius and lead a life of limitless joyfulness. You'll so love what you're about to hear. The rest of your life will never be the same," the illustrious industrialist declared. As the sun slowly ascended, for the first time a tattoo could be seen on the back of the billionaire's left hand. It had numbers on it. They simply read 20, 20, 20. The rays of light congregated over his head to give the appearance of a halo. The entire scene was ethereal. You would have been impressed.
"Is that new?" wondered the artist, showing a clear curiosity. "Didn't notice it before."
"Yep," responded the tycoon. "I had someone in Trastevere do it for me last night. Cool, right?" spoke the billionaire, appearing as innocent as a newborn.
"Sort of," pronounced the artist as he let out a monstrous yawn, then sipped from a takeaway cup of coffee. "Great coffee here in Italy," he added.
"Well, the tattoo is temporary," admitted the billionaire. "I got it because today's the 2020-20 formula day. It really is one of the most important of all our training days together. I feel blessed to be here with you two. I'm starting to feel we're family now. And to be back in Rome is so incredibly special. I stopped coming here after my wife, Vanessa, passed away. Just hurt too much to be here without her," he confessed, before looking away. Stone Riley then dug into a pocket of his sweatpants and pulled out a wishbone. He carefully placed the object on one of the steps that had a series of mysterious drawings on it. The billionaire asked his two guests to make a wish, before instructing them to pull it apart as a sign of good luck.
"I brought this to our session this morning not only to create even more great vibes for you cats," continued the billionaire. "I also want you both to remember that a wishbone without a backbone doesn't really get you very far," he explained.
"Sort of the part-time commitment delivers part-time results insight we learned earlier?" queried the artist.
"And the no idea works without doing the work insight," reinforced the entrepreneur as she did a yoga stretch into the increasing sun.
"Sort of," replied the billionaire. "I know you both long to lead productive, excellent, happy, and meaningful lives. Being a member of the 5 a.m. Club truly is the one habit of all possible habits that will guarantee this mighty ambition comes true. It's the single finest practice I've ever encountered to translate the intentions of living gloriously into an everyday reality. Yes, dreams and desires are just wishbones. Rising before daybreak is your backbone to get them done. The power of getting up early really comes from the daily application of the 20-20-20 formula," the magnate continued. "And you're now just a few seconds away from being exposed to this astonishingly potent morning routine."
"It really is about time," said the artist as he put on his own green-lensed sunglasses to shield his eyes from the light which was now beginning to wash into the empty spaces around the Spanish steps and down onto the cobblestoned square that features a famous fountain built around Bernini's sculpture of an old boat.
"Give me a hug before we get going, people," bellowed the billionaire affectionately as he embraced the artist and entrepreneur. "Welcome to my beloved Roma," he added as the song Come un Pittore by the group Moda began to play from an open window of a nearby apartment. A curtain hung out of it, flirting with the soft breeze.
"Okay, let's rock this piece. Please know that your creativity, productivity, prosperity, performance, and usefulness to the world, as well as the quality of your private life, won't transform by simply rising at 5 a.m. alone. It's not just rising early that makes this regime so powerful
as what you do over the 60 minutes after you wake up that makes the 5 a.m. club so game-changing. Remember this. Your victory hour gives you one of life's greatest windows of opportunity. As you now know, the way you start your day dramatically influences how it unfolds. Some people get up early, but destroy the value of their morning routine by watching the news, surfing online, scanning social feeds and checking messages. I'm sure you both understand that such behavior comes from the need for a quick pleasure rush of dopamine, an escape from what is truly important. This way of acting causes members of the majority to miss out on doing the things that would allow them to leverage the quietude of this special time, to help them maximize greatness, so awesome days show up consistently.
And as we create each day, so we craft our life, right? Asserted the artist, confirming a key piece of information he'd learned on the beach of the billionaire's oceanfront compound. That's the Day Stacking Foundation. And it's one of the four focuses of history makers that you explained to us. I still remember that model.
Absolutely correct, applauded the billionaire. And I need to say that beginning your day intelligently, healthily, and peacefully isn't only about optimizing your public and private success. It's also about protecting it.
Suddenly, a man driving a horse carriage and dressed as a gladiator rolled through the square, known as Piazza di Spagna, and shouted, "Buongiorno, Mr. Riley," and then continued on his way.
"A dopo," replied the billionaire loud enough for the man to hear. "Gnarly costume, right?" he said to his students.
The billionaire rubbed his fake tattoo and looked toward the Colosseum.
"That man we just saw makes me think of the Auriga, a type of slave in ancient Rome, who would transport important Roman leaders and was chosen for his trustworthiness. Here's the neat thing. Another key job of the Auriga was to stand behind the military general known as the Dux and whisper the words, Memento Homo, carefully into his ear as he placed the laurel crown on his head.
What does that mean? Asked the entrepreneur. Today she dressed in faded jeans, a bright red t-shirt with a V-neck, and white running shoes. Her hair was styled in the ponytail that she liked. She had her bracelets on, and she absolutely radiated optimism.
Memento Homo is Latin for Remember You Are Only a Man, the billionaire answered. The Auriga did this to keep the leader's arrogance in check and to help the leader manage the inevitable invitation to egotism that all great success inescapably brings. The ritual was a profound discipline to ensure the Dux remained monomaniacally focused on his true mission of making himself and the empire he ruled even better, and not diluting all his energies on the amusements and excess that caused dynasties to fall.
You know what? Indicated the artist. I've seen some artistic geniuses blow up their creative empires and destroy their good reputations because they didn't manage their success properly. So I hear you.
Deaf, said the entrepreneur.
I mean definitely, she quickly corrected as she clasped the hand of her new boyfriend. I've seen so many rocket ship companies lose their market share because they fell in love with their winning formula. They lost their fire. They got bloated and cocky. They bought into the faulty belief that because there were long lineups for their excellent products, there would always be long lineups, even without iterating their goods, improving customer service, and ensuring that every single employee continued to raise their leadership performance. So, I hear you too, Mr. Riley.
Awesome, was his one-word reply.
As you apply the 20-20-20 formula, always remember to keep improving the way you run it each morning. Stay hungry. Keep a white belt mentality around it, because nothing fails like success. Once you experience how transformational the practice is, it'll be easy to start coasting, and maybe even neglecting a few steps of the process.
The billionaire touched an index finger down to one of the steps. He closed his eyes and quietly recited these words.
It's time to stop being a fugitive from your highest self and accept membership into a new order of ability, bravery, and understanding of the call on your lives to inspire humanity.
He then walked across the stone platform atop the Spanish steps
and raised two fingers of his right hand to show the universal sign for peace. Next, he waved an arm in the direction of a man on a seat heating up chestnuts in Piazza di Spagna, near the foot of Via dei Condori. The man wore a gray shirt that had wrinkles over the chest area, navy blue trousers, and yellow running shoes. On seeing the sign, the man immediately stood up and darted through the square, up the steps, three at a time, all the way to the peak where the billionaire was stationed. He lifted his rumpled shirt, revealing a bulletproof vest, and pulled out a laminated sheet of paper from beneath it.
"Here you go, Grande. Good to see you back in Rome, my boss."
The man spoke with a rich Italian accent and a voice as gritty as sandpaper.
"Grazie mille. Molto gentile, Adriano,"
the billionaire said as he kissed the palm of a hand before extending it for a handshake.
"Adriano's on my security team,"
noted Mr. Riley while studying the page that had been presented to him.
"He's one of my best. He grew up in the town of Alba in the Piemonte region of this exceptional nation. You cats like Tartufo?"
"What's that?" queried the artist, looking a little confused by the scenario that had just played out.
"Truffles, baby," enthused the billionaire. "My goodness, they taste incredible. On tagliolini pasta with melted butter drizzled over it. Or when grated over jiggly fried eggs. My, oh my, food of the emperors it is."
The billionaire's eyes were as wide as a prairie while he imagined the meal he was describing. A razor-thin line of drool meandered out of the right corner of his mouth. Yes, a line of drool. Beyond weird, right? Adriano, who had remained in position, discreetly handed his employer a handkerchief. He looked at the entrepreneur and the artist with a glance that seemed to say, "I know he's strange, but we love him too." And then all four people, perched upon that overwhelmingly alluring sight, started to laugh together.
"Have a great morning, boss," Adriano said as he prepared to leave. "I'll meet you in Testaccio this evening. Thank you so much for inviting me to eat with you tonight. Are we eating cacio e pepe as usual?"
"Si," confirmed the billionaire. "A presto." "Alba is where white truffles come from," explained the billionaire. "Specially trained dogs sniff them out. Or pigs. Maybe in the future, I'll take you guys on a truffle hunt with me. I promise you it'll be unforgettable. Anywho, have a look at this fantastic learning model." The Spellbinder actually deconstructed the Victory Hour and the 20-20-20 formula for us. "Zero questions about how to run your morning routine now. No room for excuses. It's all laid out for you. Just run the play, and you'll own your day. Procrastination is an act of self-hatred, you know?"
"Really?" asked the artist.
"Absolutely. If you really loved yourself, you'd relinquish all your feelings of not being good enough to be great and renounce all slavery to your weakness. You'd stop focusing on your deficiencies and celebrate your amazing qualities. Just think about it. There's no person on the planet today who has the unique stack of gifts that you have. Actually, in all of history, there's never been even one person exactly like you. And there never will be. Yes, you're that special. That's an indisputable fact. So embrace the full force of your lavish talent, luminous strengths, and breathtaking powers. Let go of the destructive habit of breaking the commitments you make to yourself. Failing to keep self-promises is one of the reasons so many of us don't love ourselves. Not following through on what we tell ourselves we'll do so destroys our sense of personal worth and dissolves our self-esteem. Keep behaving like that, and the unconscious part of you will begin to believe you're not worth anything. And remember the psychological phenomenon known as the self-fulfilling prophecy I walked you through earlier. We always perform in a way that is aligned with the way we see ourselves. And so, our thinking creates our results. And the less we value ourselves and our powers, he went on, the less power we have access to. The billionaire watched a group of butterflies fly by before continuing. That's just the way it all works. So, my suggestion is that you stop putting things off, flex those willpower muscles we talked about inside the Taj Mahal, and make the remainder of your life an exercise in audacity,
a testimony to exceptional productivity, and a rare expression of unstained beauty. Honor all you truly are by living your genius instead of loathing yourself by denying your specialness. Procrastination is an act of self-hatred, the billionaire repeated. So really go all in on installing the 20-20-20 formula as the core way of managing your morning. The billionaire showed the framework to the entrepreneur and the artist. You'll find it reproduced on the enhancement. As you can see from this learning model, there are 3 20-minute pockets to install, and then practice to mastery level. The first 20-minute pocket of the 20-20-20 formula requires that you move. Simply put, doing some sweaty exercise first thing every morning will revolutionize the quality of your days. The second pocket encourages you to reflect for 20 minutes. This segment is designed to help you re-access your natural power, boost self-awareness, dissolve your stress, fuel your happiness, and restore your inner peace in an era of acute overstimulation and excessive activity. And you'll round out this 60-minute victory hour of personal fortification with 20 minutes centered around ensuring that you grow, whether that means investing some time reading a book that will improve your understanding of how the best lives were made, or an article that will refine your professional prowess, or listening to an audio session on how the virtuosos accomplish their unusual results, or watching an educational video that will show you how to lift your relationships or increase your finances or deepen your spirituality. As you cats now know, the leader who learns the most wins. One of the most helpful things I've ever learned from the Spellbinder was that starting my mornings with a strong workout, pretty much right after I jumped out of bed, was of the utmost importance. I still remember his actual words, and they were firm. You must begin your day with intense exercise. This is a non-negotiable. Otherwise, the 20-20-20 formula won't work, and I'll take back your membership in the 5 a.m. club. 3 doves flew over the billionaire. He eyed them with a giant grin, blew a kiss to one, and then advanced his discourse on the morning routine of history makers. Training rigorously first thing in the morning is a total game changer. Moving vigorously shortly after you get up will generate an alchemy in your brain, based on its neurobiology, which will not only wake you up fully, but electrify your focus and energy, amplify your self-discipline, and launch your day in a way that makes you feel on fire. Now, to be ultra-practical for you two, I'll say that your workout could mean taking a spinning class, or performing a bunch of jumping jacks and burpees, or skipping like the pro boxers love to do, or doing wind sprints. Not sure what will work best for you. The real key here, though, is to make sure you sweat. Why? Asked the artist, now taking copious notes. For the reason you'll see on the diagram. As you now know, cortisol is the hormone of fear. It's made in the cortex of the adrenal glands and is then released into the blood. Cortisol is one of the main materials that stunts your genius and devastates your implicit opportunity to make history. Very good scientific data confirms that your cortisol levels are highest in the morning. Fascinating information, observed the entrepreneur as she performed another stretch in the Roman sunshine. Yes, it is. So exercising from 5 to 5:20 a.m. for just 20 minutes will significantly lower your cortisol and therefore dial you into your top performance. Fantastic way to start a morning, right? Science has also shown there's a vital link between physical fitness and cognitive ability. The sweating from a powerful workout releases BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which supercharges that organ for a winning day. Wow, said the entrepreneur, also taking notes at a furious pace. BDNF has been shown to repair brain cells damaged by stress and accelerate the formation of neural connections, so you think better and process faster, expounded the billionaire. Another gargantuan competitive advantage for sure. Oh, and it also promotes neurogenesis, so you'll actually grow new brain cells. What's that alone worth to you? Wow times 2, shouted the artist, sounding very corny versus displaying any hint of cool.
My business will be untouchable, and I personally will become unbeatable as I execute on all these ideas you're so generously sharing with us, offered the entrepreneur.
Modeling what she'd seen Mr. Riley do when others had been kind to him, she performed a slight bow to show her appreciation.
Absolutely, agreed the billionaire. And by exercising intensely during the first 20-minute pocket of the 20-20-20 formula, you'll also release dopamine, which you well know is the neurotransmitter of drive, along with elevating your amounts of serotonin, the wonderful chemical that regulates happiness. This means that by 5:20 a.m., while your competitors are counting sheep, you're already amped to lead your field, achieve excellent results, and make the day ahead epic.
Would it be possible for you to be specific about what we need to do in order to make sure we're up with the sun? Requested the entrepreneur.
I mean, can you get into a little bit of detail about what behaviors we must perform so we actually get out of bed when that alarm clock goes off? I hope that's not a dumb question. Is that too basic?
It's a great question, said the artist as he stroked his girlfriend's back.
It's a fabulous question, exclaimed the tycoon. And sure, like I've suggested, buy an old-school alarm clock. That's what I use. As I said in Agra, you never want to sleep with any technology in your bedroom. I'll explain why soon. Once you have your alarm clock, advance the time on it from the actual time to 30 minutes ahead. Then set the alarm for 5:30 a.m.
Really? Indicated the artist. That seems odd.
I know, admitted the billionaire. But it works like magic. You trick yourself into thinking you're getting up later, but you're actually rising at 5 a.m. This tactic just works, so do it. Next, and this sounds obvious, but it's another key hack, as soon as the alarm goes off, bolt out of bed before your weaker self sucks you into all the reasons to stay in bed. Before your rational mind can come up with reasons to remain under the covers, you just need to make it through that 66-day habit installation process, so that waking up at 5 a.m. reaches the automaticity point, and it becomes easier to get up early than sleep later. When I first joined the 5 a.m. club, I slept in my workout clothes.
Mr. Riley looked slightly embarrassed. Then more doves and butterflies passed by, and a wisp of rainbow could be seen spreading across the Spanish steps.
You're kidding me, brother, right? Laughed the artist as he twirled a dreadlock. You really slept in your exercise gear?
I did, admitted the billionaire. And my running shoes were laid out right next to my bed. I did whatever it took to eliminate the death grip that common excuses could have over me.
The entrepreneur was nodding. She appeared stronger and happier as each day passed.
Anyway, let me keep jamming on the point about exercising first thing in your morning. By working out intensely, you'll stimulate that natural pharmacy of mastery, which will make you feel fundamentally different than when you first woke up. The way you feel when you first wake up really isn't the way you'll feel only 20 minutes later at 5:20 a.m. when you run this strategy to bulletproof your neurobiology and battleproof your physiology. Please remember that. Obviously, the sweaty movement also transforms your psychology over time. Even if you're usually a non-morning person and grumpy at the beginning of your day, you'll change. The whole neurons that fire together, wire together thing. You'll feel the confidence every leader without a title needs. You'll have the focus to stay on task for hours and hours, so you get your most brilliant work done. And you'll feel much calmer. See, the boost in norepinephrine that fierce morning activity generates not only improves your attention, it leaves you feeling significantly more serene. And more good research proves that exercise regulates the amygdala and the limbic system, the ancient brain we discussed in an earlier class at my beach in Mauritius, so that your responses to stimuli ranging from a hard project or a difficult client to a rude driver or a screaming baby are much more graceful instead of hysterical.
Pretty marvelous benefits, remarked the entrepreneur.
You're right, Mr. Riley. I couldn't put a price tag on having all these weapons of mass productivity in my arsenal.
Precisely, said the billionaire as he hugged the entrepreneur.
I do love you two, he added. I'll miss you both.
In that moment, the mentor's usual hopefulness shifted into some unknown sadness.
Our time together is coming to an end. Maybe we'll meet again. I really hope so. But I don't know.
His voice trailed off, and he looked away again, up at the white church that stood behind where they had gathered. A glorious tribute to the brightest examples of visionary architecture. The billionaire reached into a pocket of his black sweatpants and pulled out a pill, popping it into his mouth like a child consuming a tiny piece of candy.
Anywho, as you can also see on the deconstruction, he went on, holding up the model, working out first thing in the morning also elevates your metabolism, and it fuels the fat-burning engine of your body, so you burn any excess more efficiently and lean out more quickly. Another valuable triumph, right? Oh, and as you optimize your fitness, you'll set yourself up to stay healthy your entire lifetime. Train harder, live longer, is a smart motto I built my empires by. You now know that one of the keys to legendary is longevity. Do not die. You can't own your game and change the world if you're pushing up daisies in a cemetery.
The titan of industry articulated energetically.
The primary point that I'm trying to offer on the first part of this calibrated versus superficial morning protocol is essentially this. Your life will feel and work 100 times better when you're in the finest physical condition you've ever been in. Sweaty exercise as your first move after rising with the sun really is a total life changer. Period. So, do whatever it takes to code in this habit. Whatever it takes, cats.
Can I ask you another question, Mr. Riley? The entrepreneur asked politely.
Go for it, said the billionaire.
What if I want to exercise for longer than 20 minutes?
Totally cool, noted the billionaire. This morning routine isn't written in stone like those words carved into that obelisk up there, he added as he pointed up to the monument sitting on a small platform just above the Spanish steps. Take all I'm sharing and then make it yours. Customize it to fit your preferences and make it bespoke to suit your lifestyle.
The billionaire inhaled a fresh breath of Roman air, the same air the emperors, gladiators, statesmen and craftspeople breathed 1,000 years ago. Just imagine breathing that air and standing there with these 3 fascinating members of the 5 a.m. club.
This brings me to the second 20-minute pocket of the 20-20-20 formula that you need to run over your victory hour. The time between 5:20 and 5:40 a.m. is when you reflect.
What exactly do you mean by reflect? Asked the artist, exemplifying his newfound confidence in being a great student.
He rubbed his goatee as he voiced the question. His arm rested around the entrepreneur's shoulder.
As I've been suggesting during our time together, managing your morning well is a main skill of exceptionalists. Using the front end of your day expertly is such a key determinant of business eminence and personal magnificence. And one element of a cleverly granulated morning routine is a period of deep peace, some quietude and solitude for yourself before the complexity starts arriving and your family needs your energy and all your other responsibilities take over. Tranquility is the new luxury of our society. So during this segment of your victory hour, savor some stillness. Contemplate how you're living and on who you hope to become. Be thoughtful and intentional on the values you want to be loyal to over the hours ahead of you, and how you wish to behave. Consider what needs to happen for this to be a great day amid the construction of a legendary life.
This pocket will be super important to me, remarked the entrepreneur as her bracelets clinked together. One of them was shiny and new. It bore the phrase, "All these early mornings will make me an icon someday."
I agree with you, expressed the billionaire. Reflecting on what's most important to a life beautifully lived will leave you with what the spellbinder calls residual wisdom throughout the rest of the day. For example,
thinking quietly about the weighty value of purely producing work that represents mastery, or remembering your commitment to treating people kindly and respectfully during the second pocket, re-anchors those virtues within your awareness. And so, as you experience the remainder of your day, the residue of your reconnection with this wisdom stays in focus, infusing every single moment and guiding each one of your choices. Another butterfly flitted by. Three more soon followed the first, almost poetically. The billionaire decided to deepen his explanation on reflection, but first popped another pill. He put his hand on his heart and looked at the sensational view of Rome. "The way the light falls here really is like nowhere else," he thought. "I'll miss my Roma." The billionaire stared down the steps at the white boat sculpted by Pietro Bernini, and then glanced at the flower shop, also in the square below. "In so many ways, reflection is a main source of transformation because once you know better, you definitely can do better. During this 20-minute segment of the Victory Hour, all you need to do is get serene, stay silent, and enter the stillness. What a gift you'll give yourself in this era of such scattered attention, worry, and noisiness. That would be a giant gift to give to myself and to my business," acknowledged the entrepreneur. "I'm realizing I spend so much of my time doing and reacting, and so little of my time deliberating and planning. You've talked about how the great ones leverage periods of isolation. I've read that many famous geniuses had a habit of sitting in solitude for hours with nothing more than a pad of paper and a pen, for capturing the insights that would start flashing across the screen of their imaginations." "Yes," commented the billionaire. "Developing a tremendous imagination is a highly important portal into a celebrated fortune. One of the things that makes the historic sites here in Rome so special is the sheer size of the structures. What vision and confidence the Romans who created them must have had, and what skill to have turned the ideas into something real. My point is that every single one of the sensational edifices in the Eternal City is the product of the imagination of a human being, properly used. So, yes, you should also use the reflection pocket to invent, visualize, and dream. 20 years from now, a quote I think comes from Mark Twain says, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines. Sail away from the safe harbor. Catch the trade winds in your sails. Explore, dream, discover. All great artists dream about a future few believe is possible," stated the artist sagely. "Yep," nodded the billionaire. "Another tactic you can practice at this time is to write out what the Spellbinder calls a pre-performance blueprint. This is simply a written statement of your ideal day ahead. Researchers confirm that pre-commitment strategies work beautifully to increase your focus and discipline to get things done. You'll have a clear and calibrated script for your day ahead, so it unfolds the way you want it to. Of course, nothing in business and life is perfect. Still, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do our best to pursue it. The heroic women and men of the world were all perfectionists. They were maximizers, immensely obsessed with being remarkable at all they did. So, take at least 10 minutes to write out your perfect day." The mogul peered over at the flower shop again. He raised his left index finger up to the Roman sky. A volcanically attractive young woman with high cheekbones, tortoiseshell glasses, a gray linen blouse and fashionable trousers stood up, holding a metal attaché case. She then sprinted up the steps, like a cheetah chasing its dinner. "Hi, Vienna," said the billionaire as she arrived.
"Salve, Mr. Riley," replied the young woman respectfully. "We are delighted to see you back in Rome. Sir, I have your items."
The aide entered a code into the lock, and the case sprung open. Inside were three luxuriously crafted journals, bound by the most supple Italian leather. The billionaire handed one to the entrepreneur and one to the artist. He lifted the last one, clutched it close to his heart, and licked it. Yes, He actually licked his journal.
When we're at the magical vineyards of South Africa, I'll explain why I just ran my tongue over my diary.
The billionaire enthused with ever-increasing mystery.
South Africa? Quizzed the artist loudly. When are we going?
Magical vineyards? Queried the entrepreneur. The billionaire ignored them both.
You're good, Vienna, spoke the billionaire to his assistant. Really good. Ci vediamo dopo, he added,
as she walked down the ancient steps and hopped onto the back of a black scooter that had been waiting for her before it raced away. As the entrepreneur and the artist opened their journals, they saw a carefully detailed framework on the first page.
Another learning diagram for us? Asked the artist in a grateful tone.
See, noted the billionaire.
Brother, I love these models, the artist said. Priceless teaching tools to make confusing concepts incredibly clear.
And super relevant, added the entrepreneur.
Clarity breeds mastery, right?
Truth, affirmed the industrialist. And you're welcome, cats. But it's been the spellbinder who has invested decades of his rich life creating these frameworks to explain the philosophy and methodology of the 5 a.m. Club. They look simple because it's taken him his entire professional lifetime to handcraft them. It takes long years of extreme attention and ardent isolation to strip away the complexities of any work, to reach the simplicity that sits at the touchstone of genuine genius. It's like when an amateur looks at a masterpiece. It looks simple because he doesn't comprehend the expertise of the master in taking away all that was unnecessary. Removing the non-essentials to produce the gem takes years of dedication and decades of devotion. Making things look simple to the untrained eye is the mark of a maestro.
The learning model in the lavish leather journals is reproduced on the enhancement, just so you have a clear sense of what the three companions saw on that sunny morning in Rome.
Let me get to the point of these gifts my assistant brought us, the billionaire continued. During the reflection pocket of the 2020-20 formula, another absolutely winning move is to write in a journal. And so I had these made for you by an Italian craftsperson. Hope they work wonders for you.
The magnate looked down Via dei Condori. Street cleaners were hard at work. Tourists were strolling along the avenue, taking selfies and buying trinkets from street vendors.
The spellbinder loves hanging with me here in Roma. If we're lucky, we'll see him later this morning. I know he went running at daybreak along the river to Prati before heading off to a fishing excursion at a place a few hours from here. Oh, by the way, he formalized writing in a journal for at least a few of the minutes between 5:20 and 5:40 a.m. with the term daily diaries. The key when you do this is just to write. Don't think too much. Simply download your commitments for the hours ahead. Record your precious ambitions and activate your gratitude by listing what's good in your life right now. Please also use your journal as a place to process through any frustrations, disappointments, and resentments in your heart so you let them go. It's miraculous how you'll release toxic emotions and low energy from your system when you write down your suppressed hurts, freeing up maximum creativity, premium vitality, and unmatchable performance.
A super way to fireproof and fortify my heart set, right? Said the entrepreneur.
Yahoo!
Applauded the billionaire, who then placed a finger upon the learning model on the first page of his journal.
Here are some of the rewards you'll receive when you invest 10 or perhaps the entire 20 minutes of pocket number 2 of your victory hour in writing your daily diaries. And to repeat, so I reinforce, I suggest you don't write only the positive elements of your current life, but also those aspects of your experience that are causing discomfort and pain. Because the quickest way out of hard emotions is to have the wisdom and courage to go straight into them, feel them to heal them, name them to let go of them, put a written voice to the dark energy of life's burdens to dissolve them. These are breakthrough insights I'm revealing to you two here, because once you reclaim the power blocked by layers of toxic emotions and the wounds of the past, your mindset, heart set, health set, and soul set will all soar exponentially,
and when your four interior empires escalate through your effortful self-purification, your supreme self begins to assume command. This then yields the external empires you both hope to see more of. What I'm trying to explain is this. Difficult feelings that you don't find a healthy way to remove become repressed, which creates stress, poor productivity, and even disease.
Cool diagram, acknowledged the artist. Are you saying that if I don't feel the uncomfortable feelings, they build up and get stuck inside me to the point where I could get sick?
Yes, what you just said is pretty much what I'm suggesting, Mr. Riley confirmed. Those stuck toxic emotions layer over your gifts, talents, and higher wisdom. This is one of the primary reasons most people on the planet have forgotten the heroes they are. When we avoid feeling, we lose access to our most powerful selves and forget the truths of life. That each of us can accomplish astounding things and produce astonishing works and realize radiant health and know true love and live a magical life and be helpful to many. I speak fact here. But most of us have so much fear, pain, anger, and sorrow built up over our real selves. We have no sense of the opportunities that sit right in front of us. All that dark energy blinds us from seeing them and blocks our access to our primal genius. The great people of history had this access. Today, the majority have lost it.
A magical life? Stated the entrepreneur. You keep speaking of magic. Sounds a little far out. A little granola.
Yes, a magical life, responded the billionaire firmly but politely. I'll explain how you enter the magic available to all of us when we get to South Africa. Once you learn what I'll teach you in the vineyard there, your ability to manifest more money, better health, greater joyfulness, and deeper inner peace will grow dramatically. But I can't share anything about how to live in the magic yet. I'm not allowed to, commented the billionaire mysteriously. You need to feel a wound to heal a hurt, the billionaire continued with precision. I've endured a lot of suffering in my life. Business defeats, personal losses, physical failures. I'm actually going through something right now that's creating sorrow in my heart.
The billionaire's high-spirited demeanor suddenly began to fade. For an instant, he looked older. He hunched over, and his breathing grew labored. But then he recovered.
Anywho, the good news, he said energetically as he raised both arms high into the Roman air, is that I'm not carrying much past pain in my wonderful present and into my fantastic future. I used the daily diary practice during the Reflect Pocket of the 2020-20 formula to move through and release it all. This skill alone is one of the reasons I'm so full of wonder, gratefulness, and peacefulness, most of the time, and how I've been able to achieve so much. Living in the past steals so much energy from most people, you know? This is a massive explanation for why most people are so unproductive.
The Spellbinder's the only person I've ever met who made the link between poor performance and emotional turbulence. But think about it. It's totally true. So imagine what doing your daily diaries each morning will do for your accomplishment and the success of your business, especially as you navigate what you're going through. The billionaire spoke with palpable empathy as he placed one lean arm around the entrepreneur and the other over the shoulder of her new boyfriend.
And for your art, he added, turning to the artist.
And carrying past pain is so exhausting, the artist agreed. We all get defeated, and sometimes nearly devastated by life.
The billionaire kept on with his discourse. I also encourage you to find at least a few moments during the second pocket, between 5:20 and 5:40 a.m., to meditate. The Spellbinder taught me how to do so, and it has profoundly helped my concentration, my confidence, my performance, and the calm that I feel while running a sophisticated business portfolio. And calm performers are the highest achievers. There's nothing crackerjack about meditation, so get over any biases you might have around the skill and go ahead and lock it in.
It's simply one of the world's best ways to strengthen your focus, preserve your natural power, and insulate your inner peace. There's a lot of wonderful science confirming the value of a regular meditation ritual. So even if you want to dismiss the method, the data says it works phenomenally as a human optimization habit. Current research proves that regular meditation helps lower levels of cortisol, thus lowering your stress. It's also a strong way to grow the relationship you have with yourself. You need to make more time for you, to scale your fluency and intimacy with your higher nature, to reconnect with your best part, that side of you that understands the impossible is mostly the untried, and that knows of your hidden reservoirs of luminosity, audacity, and love. That portion of you that still can see the greatness in others, even when they behave badly, and that models positivity in the world, even when such virtues are not replied to you. Yes, go into this 20-moment sanctuary of silence and stillness each morning, and remember all you truly are. Truth speaks in the solitude of the day's earliest light, and then carry this breathtaking knowledge with you through the remaining hours of the gift we call a day. The billionaire fell to the ground and did a series of rapid push-ups. Then a plank pose followed. You're now very familiar with this quirky tycoon's bizarre maneuvers. I need to get onto the third pocket of the 20-20-20 formula so we can wrap up today's mentoring session. I've got a series of meetings set up for later, and then I'm off to a splendid dinner with Adriano, the spellbinder, and a few other old friends, the billionaire said cheerfully.
Sure, said the artist. No sweat.
Of course, said the entrepreneur. We heard about a restaurant close to Campo di Fiore that makes great carbonara. We're trying it tonight.
Yummy, acknowledged the billionaire, sounding more like a 5-year-old than a captain of commerce.
He then continued his discussion on the morning routine of empire builders, super achievers, and the saviors of our civilization. Suddenly the billionaire clutched his stomach, wincing in pain. You okay, Mr. Riley? The entrepreneur asked as she rushed toward her mentor.
Absolutely, he replied, pretending everything was fine. Let's keep moving. I'm totally committed to making sure you learn everything that was taught to me about the 5 a.m. club before I leave you. Please, just make sure you share the Spellbinder's teachings with as many people as you can. You'll be improving the world as you do. I might not be able to, he said as his voice trailed off. Okay, the industrialist carried on. Let's keep going. Pocket 3 of the 20-20-20 formula is designed to help you grow daily. Remember the 2x3x mindset? To double your income and impact, triple your investment in two primary areas, your personal mastery and your professional capability. So 5:40 to 6 a.m., the final segment of the victory hour, is when you deepen your base of knowledge, increase your acumen, improve your expertise, and outlearn your competition.
Leonardo da Vinci said, one can have no smaller or greater mastery than mastery of oneself, said the artist.
I love you even more today, the entrepreneur said.
Well, I adore you more every day, he replied with a grin.
Oh, brother, laughed the billionaire. I'm caught in a love fest right here on the Spanish Steps.
He closed his eyes and recited these words of Stoic philosophy by Seneca, the Roman statesman. Each day acquire something that will fortify you against poverty, against death, indeed against other misfortunes as well. And after you have run over many thoughts, select one to be thoroughly digested that day. The billionaire opened his eyes and stated simply, leadership on the outside begins within. He added, during the final pocket, from 5:40 to 6 a.m. of the 20-20-20 formula, work on becoming more valuable to your industry as well as to society. See, you don't receive success and influence only because of what you want. You attract it into your life based on who you are, as a person and as a producer. Private desire without personal development is like dreaming of having a gorgeous garden, but not planting any seeds.
We magnetize ourselves to excellent rewards by raising the value of ourselves. I made my fortune from this idea. As I improved, my capacity to improve the lives of more people improved through the elevated quality of my service. As I made myself more knowledgeable, I became more valuable to the future.